Today I want to talk about finish your cycles. Don't we all want to accomplish more? You know, I've never heard anyone say, I want to accomplish less. I get too much done. Have you? Human activity is simple, right? You start something, you continue something, and then you stop something. Start, continue, stop. Today, this talk is about the third phase, stopping or finishing the cycle that was started. How about you? When you look around, do you see evidence of unfinished cycles? I sure do. This is what started my thought process on finishing cycles. I got an email from my automobile insurance company telling me my insurance card that I need to have in my glove compartment was ready to be downloaded. I logged in, downloaded it, printed it. Because the card is pretty small and the sheet of paper was 8.5 by 11 inches, I took scissors and trimmed away the excess blank space. Because the printer is in my office near the garage and my car, I went into the car and put the card on the passenger seat and started back into the house. Wait a minute, I said to myself. The card belongs in a small folder in the glove compartment, not on the front passenger seat. I turned around, opened the passenger door, opened the glove compartment, took out the folder and inserted the card, replaced the folder, closed the compartment, closed the passenger door, and went back into the house. I finished the cycle. And except for this talk, I don't have to think about what I have to do with the card. It is done. And I knew, starting out, that previously things have become lost in the car, fallen behind the dashboard or falling into the console and never to be retrieved. But in this case, the cycle was finished. In the mid-1970s, I took a job with the Dale Carnegie Institute of Long Island, mainly because I was told that the sales manager, Patty Babbitts, was exceptional, and I would learn a lot from her. Unfortunately for me, Patty was promoted 2 weeks after I was hired, so I never really got the level of training that I was hoping for. However, one lesson she emphasized that I did not learn was, touch the paper only one time. She meant that when you pick up a piece of paper that has usable information that you need, to either act upon it, read it and file it, read it and discard it. Picking up a piece of paper, looking at it, and then putting it back on your desk was messy and a waste of time because, obviously, you were going to pick it up again, look at it, and put it back on your desk again. She discouraged that process. In the past, I've told myself that when a magazine comes into my house, I would spend 15 to 30 minutes reading the valuable parts, and then I would handle the magazine. I would finish that cycle. I lied. I don't do that. What I do is I stack the magazines in an unfinished pile waiting for my attention. I'm better at handling the mail. It comes into the house, gets separated into junk, which is recyclable, information that is something I want to take a look at and read, and important mail, which I need to keep in my files. And the fourth major category is the solicitation of charitable donations, which is excessive. When I don't know where to put things, they end up on horizontal surfaces. That indicates, to me, cycles that are not finished, because I'm obviously going to pick them up again and maybe put them down again, then pick them up again. Here are the real problems connected to not finishing your cycles. They are demands which are not effectively responded to. So they create stress. That's how stress is created. The nonspecific response to a demand causes stress. 2. Unfinished cycles don't provide the satisfaction that comes with a sense of closure. If we don't take them to the end, it's hard to be satisfied. It's hard to feel good about ourselves. It's hard to judge what we've accomplished because we haven't. We all have a certain amount of attention energy. Some people have a lot and some people have less, but we all have the amount of attention energy that we have. I think controlling one's attention energy is a skill that can be improved through meaningful practice. But regardless of the total amount of attention energy we each have, for convenience sake, we could imagine dividing the total energy that we have individually by 100. So we could say we each have 100 attention units of energy that we can use as we wish. If we further imagine that attention energy is like a flow of money, which we can direct, redirect, stop, or slow down, the choices that follow seem pretty obvious. Where do you want to spend your 100 attention energy units? You have 100 units, so it's up to you. However, when we start a cycle but don't finish it, we continue spending our attention energy on that situation because it is still open. It's as if the faucet was not closed. Upon completing several cycles that I coach clients to do, they've said to me, "Wow, I feel lighter." Another, "My sense of freedom just jumped up." Another, "I don't feel as tired as I was before." And to me, this is the result of finishing cycles, which feels like the removal of the energetic weight of unfinished business off a person's mind-body. In business jargon, there's a concept of cost of opportunity. That phrase means as you do one thing, you are actually not doing another thing that could be rewarding. If you fritter away your time and attention on picayune activities that have very little opportunity to be rewarding, the rewards that could be derived from more meaningful activities are lost to you. Again, using your imagination, you can consider how a hose that is used for transporting water but has a bunch of leaks could pose a problem. Water that you wanted to deliver to a pool or a tree or a plant doesn't get delivered. The same condition exists when a situation needs more of your attention energy, but you don't have it available because it's being lost on all the other unfinished cycles that you've allowed to accumulate in your energy field. I was going to get back to that. Are all leaks of your energy that deprive you of the total resources that would otherwise be available to you. I recently spoke on the topic of expressing the self. I made the case that expressing is one of the main purposes of life in life. Your expressions will have a start, continue, stop if they are finished cycles. I've also regularly talked about my energy model of life that has six phases. The fourth, fifth, and sixth phases are the expression of energy, the release of energy, and closure. Closure is the finish of cycles. When you finish a cycle, you have a harvest of sorts. You can evaluate the results you have produced. You can extract valuable insights and learning. And this is where satisfaction is harvested, which empowers you and powers you to engage in the next cycle. In self-improvement circles focused on success, the idea of envisioning the final result is promoted. People create vision boards, which has a board, you know, like a cork board, or some oaktite, or some other form that you would take images of things that you were interested in having in your life. The things that you want. New car, new house, new clothing, new this, new that. So those things are part of the envisioning process. And to a certain extent, I think that makes sense. In other words, it could be helpful to know where you are going and what it will look and feel like. as I said, this was a good idea to a certain point, and this is why. As Napoleon Hill said in his masterpiece, Think and Grow Rich, that when you apply certain principles to your thinking and feeling and acting, somehow the universe has a way of really flowing to you beyond your imaginings. Things, what starts at a trickle, turns into a flood. In my personal experiences, having the image of the finish in soft terms, not rigid terms, where you say it has to be this way or no way, instead of that, but having soft terms for your image allows for divine consciousness to enhance your result beyond what the human mind can imagine. That happens all the time. So when you consider all the processes in the body outside of your control, you can begin to get an appreciation for the creative, loving, intelligent power that is working on your behalf. I said earlier that the three-step process, start, continue, and stop, was very common. It is, but there are other versions that people create. React, continue. You may have read some years ago about the Japanese soldier who started fighting in the Philippines during World War II. He became separated from other troops, and because he didn't get the word that the war was over, he kept fighting the Second World War for more than 30 years after it was over. He just continued and continued and continued. In his mind, he wasn't able to process the possibility that it was over and it had come to a stop. So, he spent his life doing that. The other choice we have is react, continue, and stop. So we're reacting to some other condition, and we're either continuing it because we want to or don't know any better or it's expected of us, and then our motivation wanes, and then we come to a slow stop. And then others are, we react to those external conditions and say, nope, I'm not doing it, and we stop immediately. We refuse to go along with it, which is another form of rejection, of course. Some people don't want to start. They'd rather be handed something to react to. They may believe that this is a God-desired model of life. God decides on everything, and you take what He gives you, and you react to what you are given. That's your job as a human being. There's no self-determinism, no free will. It's all about reaction. If you don't have the right or the power to make decisions of what you like, what you want now and in the future, and the will to manifest that purpose, you either learn to react to everything or you learn to go numb so you can't feel the pain and frustration that comes with subverting this natural process of growing and expressing and growing. The fear of hurting and making other people unhappy dissuades people from asserting their self. Another person's unhappy trumps your happy. I see propitiation as an unpleasant condition of self-empowerment. It's what beggars do because they are so limited in value and power. That is a creation. It's not reality. I'm guessing that the fear of consequences is a major factor preventing not only finishing cycles, but from starting them too. It is easier to continue something already started. That is why most people get hired for jobs, to continue the business that the founder started. That's your job. Continue the business and help it grow. That's why you were hired. The way to mitigate negative consequences, and I say mitigate, not eliminate, is to elevate one's intention and purpose, powered by respect for other people's self-interest. We can mitigate negative consequences, but we won't eliminate them. People will react to any kind of expression. We don't understand enough about how dark people react to light people. And dark is with an uppercase D, and it is L is uppercase L. And I'm not talking about skin color. I'm talking about consciousness. Does the dark try to smother the light as if it would be a good idea to put out the illumination so everything is dark? Or is the dark so hungry for the light that it tries to gain it by engulfing it? I don't know. Maybe both of those variations exist. Let's look at your childhood. Just think about your upbringing regarding normal cycles that would have been a part of your life. Did you learn to bring order to your environment? Did you make your own bed? Did you have chores to do that you actually did without constant prodding? How else did you bring order to your life and the lives of others when you were younger? The simplest habits can indicate how we have learned to do things. I know people who put dirty dishes in the sink instead of the dishwashers. Why? I know people who would wash a few dishes, let them dry on a mat, and leave them there for hours on end. For me, the cycle ends when I put the dirty dishes in a dishwasher and hand wash and put away the dishes on the drying mat and then hang up the drying mat. These are small actions, but habits are built of small actions repeated. Presumably, finishing cycles is equivalent to satisfying demands. Responding effectively to demands reduces stress. So, perceiving a demand, which can be a desire, a chore, a role, a should, a have to, a whim, etc., and taking action to satisfy it, is the start of the process. Since our desire to create and express will follow the same pattern, we have the opportunity to select what we want to start. If you want to start a business, or write a book, or bake biscottis, you will have to decide on a few things. We manage four things in life: matter, solid stuff; energy, non-solid stuff; space, and time. Managing our own energy is the first step, and perhaps the most difficult when it comes to starting and finishing cycles. Most people over a certain age are familiar with the scenario when the family car won't start. Something may have happened to the battery, so it has low energy, insufficient to start the car, or the starter won't produce the spark needed to start the engine. The human mind-body is similar. The energy needed to respond to the demand has to be powerful enough to overcome inertia, which is what we are doing at the moment before we start. This energy level is seen as our motivation, our will, our purpose, our why, intention, desire, and so on. This energy is how we think and feel about the activities that we will engage in while addressing the demand. The matter we manage, first and foremost, most, after our minds, which is energy, is our body. We will move it in some form, maybe just fingers on a keyboard writing a book. But you would have had to move your body into that position. You would have had to position the computer with the keyboard you need to use. If you were writing a book, longhand, as I do in my journaling, you would assemble paper, pens, and of course, like me, coffee. Creating biscotti would entail assembling the ingredients needed according to the recipes that you wanted to use. This process, in all likelihood, would have involved grocery shopping, which requires energy to move you to the store and up and down the aisles. You would pay for your purchases with money, which is simply another form of energy. Space and time management goes on simultaneously. The space for baking biscottis would be your kitchen. The space to get the groceries would be the grocery store, which, on the way there, your space would be in your car. If you were writing a book, you would have settled on some space, probably in some office-like environment in your home, where you would sit down each day to write. All of the mentioned activities can be seen on the timeline. When are you going to start? When are you going to finish? When? When are you going to go to the grocery store? When are you going to preheat the oven? When are you going to pick up the pen and write the first word or sentence or put the date on the paper? When? Waiting till the time is right may be avoiding the decision that is yours to make. You're waiting for something to react to. Here is something most achievers recognize. As soon as they decide how a situation is going to unfold, it seems as if the universe instantly begins to collaborate and flow energy, ideas, resources, and more to that decisive person. This is the same thing that Napoleon Hill talked about in his book. There are always going to be obstacles, not the least of which is inertia or gravity. Getting started is not necessarily easy, and in fact, maybe it's the most difficult part. NASA knows that the great majority of energy consumed in a rocket launch occurs during liftoff and as the rocket overcomes the gravitational pull of the Earth. Think of yourself as that rocket when you're about to start on a cycle. And you go, oh, okay, starting requires more energy than continuing or stopping. I get it. The real fun in all these processes is deciding on the cycles that you want to do. This is where you create, build, express yourself. If you can build a strong why and bring it into focus, why? Why do you want to do this? What is it going to cause? What desirable effect is going to result? How is this going to make you feel? Why are other people going to be pleased with this? Why? And that allows you to bring in more attention, thinking, and feeling, and you're going to find it easier to start, continue, and stop your cycles because you would have really revved up your engine. In order to grow healthy, grow successful, grow happy, we all need energy flowing to us and through us. Have an exciting, demanding, and interesting cycles to apply ourselves to ensures that growth. It's got to be demanding. It's got to be difficult. If it's easy, we're going to run into boredom right away and not going to want to continue. So it does have to be demanding of our resources and cause us to grow in order to complete it. We draw in energy to flow to in our cycles. Our interest and appreciation open a valve so energy can flow to us and through us. The bottom line is this. What do you want to create? What do you want to build? What do you want to express right now without waiting for some other contingency to be met? Right now, what is it? Listen to this prayer and notice the source of our highest inspiration and the promise of being supported by Father, Mother, Life as we start, continue, and finish cycles. This is a pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 in Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know that this is possible. We believe that you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know that our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal, loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. Thank you. It is so. Amen.